Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
And today we're going to be talking about what's happening in Paris right now. 21 countries are gathered in Paris, over 151 world dignitaries. The President of the United States says this is the largest gathering of world leaders ever. And you've got to ask yourself, why are they gathering today? Is it to address ISIS? Is it to address the global economy? No. They're there to discuss climate change, global climate change. The United Nations has brought these leaders together. And it's really amazing what's taking place here. This event started November the 30th, and it's scheduled to last to December 11th. 12 days where world leaders are going to be gathered in Paris. And the idea is to come up with an agreement that helps to lower the climate, the temperature of the planet, by 2 degrees. And the question you got to ask yourself, is there something more to this? Is there really something more? Why are all these world leaders gathering? And is this a strategy that's being done, kind of like rules to raggle, an organizing that's taking place to gather world leaders for something that's potentially even more sinister? We got to pay attention. We got to understand what is happening when you can get that many world leaders to come together, all in agreement for one purpose, and of all things, global warming. In fact, the President of the United States, President Obama, says that it's the number one security threat facing our nation. You got to ask yourself, not ISIS, but global warming. And they're trying to come up with a plan that bypasses Congress. You know what that means? A plan that bypasses you, the American citizen. Because Congress is your elected representative. Why would we need a plan that bypasses you? We want to watch and see more of what this event, this COP21, as it's being called, Conference of Parties. What is this all about? What's the end game? Watch this.
Gordon, the high-level climate talks have started with political leaders saying they have to act to save the planet from man-made climate change. And President Obama is pushing for a deal that would bypass Congress. Dale Hurd explains.
151 world leaders have converged on Paris to launch 2 weeks of talks aimed at an ambitious agreement to curb carbon dioxide emissions. Leaders like the UN Secretary General think we are on the precipice of global catastrophe.
The time is now to act. We don't have any time to waste.
President Obama is there, and the White House wants a deal that doesn't have to be approved by Congress.
The design of the Paris negotiation is really driven in large part by the desire to get an agreement that does not have to go through the treaty ratification process. It's all perfectly legal.
The planet's warming. 99% of scientists have said it's warming.
Actually, the claim was 97% of scientists, and that has been shown to be wrong in peer-reviewed journals.
But the president obviously has to gin up public support, because any agreement reached in Paris is going to be dead on arrival in the U.S. Senate.
My message is very clear to them right now that we're not going to adopt anything over here that is mandatory.
On Fox News Sunday, Republican presidential candidate Carly Fiorina blasted President Obama for continuing to say that climate change was the most important security threat facing the United States.
Well, that's delusional. It is delusional for President Obama and Hillary Clinton and anyone else to say that climate change is our near-term most severe security threat. It is ISIS, period.
A Fox News poll showed that only 3% of Americans agreed with the president that climate change is the most important issue. Public concern about climate change is dropping in most Western nations. But world leaders are spending a lot of money and emitting a lot of carbon to hold a conference on an issue that fewer and fewer Europeans and Americans care about. Dale Hurd, CBN News.
Only 3% of Americans, according to that Fox poll, agree that climate change is something that they're actually even concerned about. So why is our president and 20 other world leaders and 150 world dignitaries are all convening in Paris, no less. There is something more behind this. Global warming, Steve. Global warming and climate change has 21 world leaders and 150 dignitaries all coming to Paris, no less. I mean,
well, 3% people think it's a priority.
3% of Americans feel like climate can, you know, change. And the goal here is to come up with an agreement or some sort of plan that cools the planet by 2 degrees, Steve. Two degrees. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why is the president? I don't understand. Why do we need an agreement that bypasses Congress? I mean, we know from our Constitution, we know from our civics class in high school that Congress is our elected representative. I believe it's like for every 700,000 people in the population,
one representative.
You get one representative. And so that's the most direct representative that we have in Washington that we send to represent us.
Yeah, and it is encouraging to know that you have representatives saying it'll be dead on arrival. I'm like, well, that's good to hear.
That's good.
They actually have a straight mind hearing that.
You're listening. Why do we need the United Nations bringing policy that will affect us here in the United States? Shouldn't all policy change really occur from within our government, not outside of our government? And why are we on the cutting edge? The you know, nothing happens in the world without the United States involvement. We're the lone world superpower, and with that comes great responsibility. But why are we leading the charge in this area? What is the end game? And you hear Vice President Al Gore even talking about, you know,
former.
This, we have to go bypass this ratification of the treaty. Like, wait a second. What is this all about? And it reminds me of a segment that we did in regards to organizers of the day versus organizer of the night. And it was a series based upon a book that was written by Saul Alinsky, who was the mentor of Barack Obama then, before he was elected, and Hillary Clinton before she was even in the White House as the wife of President Bill Clinton, and of course her, you know, administration later when she was served as Secretary of State. And so why is this book important? Because in this book, who he dedicates, Saul Alinsky, to Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, the back cover, the front cover, you may be looking at a picture even now, inside cover is dedicated to Lucifer. And you kind of think, interesting, why would this book be dedicated to Lucifer? Because he credits Lucifer with being one of the very first ones
to get his own kingdom.
Yeah, through operating in these principles. So what are these rules, and what's the end game? It's about organizing and polarizing and moving a group of people, small or large, in this case, the world, the world, for an agenda. And so not all organizing is bad, because you can organize people to do something good. But organizing becomes really bad and really sinister when it is designed to usurp authority, when it's designed to go around people that need to be involved in the process. You know, you don't want other children and people organizing around an authority around the home to circumvent what the authorities in the house established, parents, right? No, that's not a good thing. But we do want to organize to do something good.
Right.
And so we got to watch out for this, because why would world leaders, Steve, think about this, 21 nations be spending not a week, 12 days, not to address the concern about ISIS, not to concern, you know, to address the global economy, which many, International Monetary Fund, many people are saying that we have an issue here. We have a problem. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when the economy comes down. They're not coming together to convene about that. They're coming in agreement over a 12-day period of time when many people around the world are not even fully engaged. I mean, we're in the month of December. People just got off of the holiday Thanksgiving, and their minds are focused on Christmas and holiday and spending and vacation, and they're not paying attention. And it's so important to pay attention.
Oh, yeah, especially right now, because you know, we've talked about before in past segments about the things that have been passed and before in, you know, the day before a holiday or the day before a recent.
On a Friday exactly. at 3 o'clock. Yeah.
And it's that much more to be mindful of. Why is there so much attention? Why is there that open statement that says this is the single most threat to the American security? It's just like there's obviously a reason. There's obviously a sub paragraph or basically something behind the scenes. It's like,
what's the end game?
Yes.
What is the end game? I want you to listen to a segment we did about actually based out of this book, Rules for Radical. You want to get this series, by the way. It's available to you on The Torch, but it's a 28 part series that gives, lists all the rules for radicals, if you will, in the book, all the principles, but it also sheds a light perspective, a biblical perspective that us as believers, we can adapt, because we don't want to use dark methods to influence. We want to use biblical methods to encourage people and gather people to do the right thing. But I want you to listen to this as you get insight into really what is happening and what is the end game. Watch this.
And so here we are. Are we being organized? It's looking like the answer is we're leaning towards, I'm leaning just a little bit towards, yeah. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm leaning a little bit towards yeah. The answer, by the way, is not rolling over and going to sleep right now or closing your eyes or turning on a movie so you can get your mind away from this. The answer is waking up, repenting, and being the light that God's called us to be. But also, as we enter in, I want you, this is going to just ring a huge bell. So you have to begin to open society, right? So we're seeing that's part of Saul Alinsky's operating manual, Rules for Radicals, right?
Right.
The polarization that's happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's, it's like, and he, like me, and like Marshall Gantz, the president was a community organizer, but it seems like he's still organizing. Organizing is not wrong, unless we're using tips from Lucifer, which Saul Alinsky's book starts with. But also now, it's like one more thing he talks about in his book, Rules for Radicals. Saul Alinsky writes, he says, remember, once you organize around something as commonly agreed upon as pollution. Think about this. Once you organize, this is Saul Alinsky in Rules for Radicals talking about how to organize. Remember, once you organize around something as commonly agreed upon as pollution, then organized people will begin to move. From there, it's short and natural step to political pollution, to the Pentagon pollution. And it's like, they're even talking about global warming. They're actually saying we're polluting the atmosphere. It's like, this is not even a secret. This is like, this is a book you can get from Amazon.com and you can read. I was reading it last night. It's like, they didn't use the word global. It's like, what is this global warming stuff? And so people are arguing about, they're polarizing themselves. Like they're buying into the whole concept. They're being polarized.
Mm-hmm.
And you're arguing with the ones they wanted you to argue with instead of saying, did you just try to polarize me? Are we talking about the icebergs melting and stuff? You know what I'm saying? What happened here? And this is what he says in Saul Alinsky's book in Rules for Radicals. He says, remember, once you organize people around something as commonly agreed upon as pollution, then an organized people is on the move. From there, it's a short and natural step to political pollution and to Pentagon pollution. In other words, you can organize the government.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting that our president, one of his first things he went to do was to go sign. He was going to go to Denmark, I believe it was Denmark. I can't think about the country that it was right now. And sign in the United Nations in regards to, let's go to this global warming. Let's begin to deal with this global warming. Let's start saying, let's polarize people based on the fact that there's this pollution issue. We'll get the whole world buying behind this and start charging carbon tax to people. And it's really just some whole concept put out there. And it's like, okay, now we've created, we got people organized around the green movement, you know, and we got light bulbs that you can't burn anymore, and it's just this whole concept. And so it's like, okay, people can organize around that. But then he says, from there, it's a short and natural step to deal with political pollution and Pentagon pollution. Let me add to that.
Christian pollution and Jewish pollution.
Mm.
Right now, as we speak, this last week, I believe it was this week, a pastor was preaching revival in Louisiana, and somebody walks in and shoots him dead. Dead.
Wow.
Don't know all the details? Dead. There's video of people walking up and so much hatred in their heart. They said, all I want to do is destroy you and remove you from this nation. I want to remove everything to do with the church and anything with the Bible and anything from just. And you have to understand that if you buy into this polarization, instead of humbling yourself before God as a Christian and repenting from our wicked ways and seeking the Lord and responding the way Jehoshaphat did and positioning ourselves to receive, to be able to come against this vast army, then you're looking at, you know, great times of trials and difficulties.
Right.
We're being organized.
Mm-hmm.
We are being organized in a simple little book called Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky is being used like a playbook. I mean, whether they're using it or not, it's like there's like they're feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
But being a community organizer, being hiring Marshall Gantz as part of your political campaign as the one who quotes from a book, Rules for Radicals, that was openly dedicated to Lucifer in the beginning of it, or at least talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Tips from Lucifer, I think, hey, we got to pay attention. This is a polarization happening between God and Satan, darkness and light. And guess what? Light is greater than darkness. It's time for us.
It's happening. It's happening. The world is being organized. You need to be alert. You need to be awake. You need to know what is happening. Listen, when we get back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about this and so much more. You don't want to miss it, because we're going to talk about a new video that was just released by ISIS. In the midst of the world leaders convening in Paris, ISIS is putting out a new video, and it's going to be interesting to hear their ideology. This is not about blood and guts, this video. This is about them talking systematically about their plan. They're not some random people that are just, you know, blowing up things just for the sake of blowing up. They have an agenda. They have an eschatology. They have a worldview according to their religion that says, follow the playbook, follow the plan. And you're going to hear from them what their plan is. Global warming. Yes, we're talking about it. Polarization, organizing the world. And it's interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is straight out of the playbook.
Could be more obvious.
No, why would you get 21 countries? Mm-hmm. Think about that. 150 world dignitaries. President Obama says it's the largest gathering of world leaders that has ever convened, that's ever come together. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge. And share with us exactly what is that? I know you have the direct quote, but what's the goal? What's the end game of this?
Well, yeah. You think about it, you have how it says that you have a people on the move. And that quote is how you heard Greg saying earlier. It says, remember, once you organize people around something as commonly agreed upon as pollution, then an organized people is on the move. From there, it's a short and natural step to political pollution, to Pentagon pollution.
Say that again and say that a little bit slower. And he's actually quoting out of the book, Saul Alinsky's book,
right.
Rules for Radical. But read that to us slower, because we want to get this.
Sure. Remember, once you organize people around something as commonly agreed upon as pollution.
So what they're doing is they're all something that's common. We can all agree pollution is a bad thing. The world is going to explode. We have to take care of the planet now. Mm-hmm. The planet's going to explode. You know, we have to make it 2 degrees warmer. This is a good thing.
Right. Then an organized people is on the move.
Right, because now that you've got them organized, now that you've got them working for a common good, a cause, they're all together, they've built these relationships, now you can steer this cohesive group into another direction.
And then from there, it's a short and natural step to political pollution, to Pentagon pollution.
Political pollution, defense pollution, Christian pollution, Jew pollution. It just goes on and on and on. And I think of the the frog that never jumped out because he got boiled alive in the water. This is what's happening. It's just incrementally the changes begin to start turning. And before you know it, I thought we were gathered here for climate control. And then all of a sudden, well, this is climate control. But I want you to watch, because on the heels of these world leaders gathering together in Paris for COP21, the Conference of Parties 21, by the way, organized and put together by the United Nations, ISIS just released a video of their ideology. The president of the United States is saying that for some reason he feels that global warming is the most, you know, important security threat to our nation. But ISIS is cutting people's heads off. Mm-hmm. I want you to watch their what their ideology is all about. Watch this.
This is our Khilafa in all its glory, remaining and expanding. It was established in the year 1435 Hijri. Its leader from the tribe of Quraysh is Sheikh Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, and its territory is already greater than Britain, 8 times the size of Belgium and 30 times the size of Qatar. It's a state built on the prophetic methodology, striving to follow the Quran and Sunnah. Not a secular state built on man-made laws whose soldiers fight for the interests of Tawhut legislators, liars, fornicators, corporations, and for the freedoms of sodomites. We are men honored with Islam who climbed its peaks to perform jihad, answering the call to unite under one flag. This is the source of our glory, our obedience to our Lord. We are uncompromising in our call to Tawheed. We only bow to Allah. Unlike the countless deviant factions raising their false banners and changing with the winds of Jahili politics. Yes, we are the soldiers who stopped the idols of nationalism, demolished the shirky symbols of Palmyra and Nineveh, and destroyed the Sykes-Picot borders. For there is no honor to be found in the remnants of shirk and nationalism, and no difference between an Arab and a non-Arab, or a black man and a white man, except through piety. This is the glory of faith that unites us. Justice is served with the establishment of the Islamic courts, and there are thousands of masajid and schools for our cubs and pearls, where they prepare themselves to share in the great rewards of expanding this Khilafa. America, you claim to have the greatest army history has known. You may have the numbers and weapons, but your soldiers lack the will and resolve. Still scarred from their defeats in Afghanistan and Iraq, they return dead or suicidal, with over 6,500 of them killing themselves each year. So while you go around cooking the facts on the results of your military airstrikes, we continue to haunt the minds of your soldiers and sow fear into their hearts, with 18 of your soldiers committing suicide each day before you've even advanced. And in addition to the $6 trillion price tag on your war against the Muslims, you're now too weak to put boots on the ground. You opt instead to attack us from the air with missiles, each worth $250,000, while we send your proxies to hell with 50-cent bullets. Then, there's your new coalition of devils, with Iran, Turkey, and Russia joining the fray. That's because the Millah of Kufr will always unite you together to fight the truth. So bring it on, all of you. Your numbers only increase us in faith, and we're counting your banners, which our prophet said would reach 80 in number. And then, the flames of war will finally burn you on the hills of death. Bring it on, for we echo the mighty call of our prophets. Gather your allies, plot against us, and show us no respite. Our ally is the greatest. He is Allah, and all glory belongs to Him.
This is what ISIS just released. Listen, I mean, their whole goal is to put terror and to come against the entire world. I mean, they're fighting in the Middle East. They're doing terrorist attacks all over the world. And understand that Israel is on their chart, and so is America. And by looking at the facts, I don't see global warming as our number one threat. It's ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to ask yourself that if there was, you know, a serious commitment to deal with global and climate change, then we would be bombing the oil fields of that ISIS has taken over, that's using to raise their resources. If we were serious, let's start, if one thing can come out of this conference, a decisive agreement could be, let's take out the oil fields that ISIS is using to continue to propagate their war on all humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Think about this. Not to mention that Vice President Al Gore, reports are, he sold his television network to Al Jazeera for hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't have the exact number, but he sold it to Al Jazeera, who is owned by an oil-rich country, Qatar. So, I mean, think about this. There is more to this endgame. Remember that the organizing and the polarization starts with climate control, something we can all agree on. But what are we going to? What is this group of 21 nations, 150 world dignitaries? Where is this thing going to be steered? And what is their agreement going to be waged against? We're talking about what is the real mm-hmm. threat. The real threat. Is it climate change? Or is it ISIS right mm-hmm. now that has an agenda and they're fully funded? I mean, they're selling oil. They're selling oil. Mm-hmm. And if we're serious, Steve, about taking over this climate change, I think the very first act we do is just go ahead and get rid of those oil fields and, mm-hmm. and destroy their ability to make money, earn money.
Yeah, and it causes you kind of, when you look at the whole spectrum of things in regards to, you have leadership not acknowledging radical Islam, giving false information or basically directing us away to, say, global warming while we're going into debt, defunding the military. And then all of a sudden, when you look back at the quote of what we said earlier about an organized people on the move, then you have it in regards to what other people are talking about while in this conference. All of a sudden you have people
like, what's next?
Yeah. Then you have, I think it was Mahmoud Abbas, and he just.
Yeah. Well, I mean, exactly. Where are we going with this?
Right.
What's the end game? Maybe the end game is exactly how it actually just started.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not interesting, but it ends with going after Christians and going after Jews. No, that possibly can't be it. Well, I mean, just here. Look at what the Palestinian Authority president, Mahmoud Abbas, just said at the conference. Conference is not even over yet, okay?
About global warming.
But this is what he said. Israel's devastating the Palestinian environment. This is what he tells the world leaders. They're devastating our environment. And he goes on to say that they're accusing Israel of carrying out ecological attacks. And he urged the world leaders at this climate conference to protect Palestinian environment from Israeli military policies. He goes on to say, our resources are being usurped, our trees are being uprooted, our agriculture is being destroyed. And he says, defend us.
Mm.
He says, we've made great progress in adopting climate change laws, but complained that their continued Israeli occupation and violation of international laws related to the environment was a central challenge in their implementation. This is him speaking. This is, looking at the image right now of him speaking at this COP, COP21,
mm-hmm.
interesting, Conference of Parties, United Nations Global Climate Change Conference. And then this is a picture of him kissing the president of France, François Hollande, and he's kissing Abbas. And this is what Abbas is saying.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, listen, we've tried to adapt with these principles. We've tried to comply. We're doing our very best. But you got to deal with this country, Israel, and what they're doing to us. They're destroying our trees. Think about this. Is this the plan all along, to organize the world leaders to get in agreement to come against the nation mm-hmm. of Israel? And your heart has to go out to Bibi, as he's there, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel, as mm-hmm. he's, you know, a sheep amongst wolves, maybe. But you got to look at that. I mean, how uncomfortable has to be to know that these nations here are conspiring? And it's important for us as believers that we don't fall prey to this, that we don't fall prey to being polarized ourselves, that we don't fall prey to joining a narrative.
Being distracted.
Yeah, that's going to be co-opted
and
then turned against the apple of God's eye.
Yeah.
Turned against Israel. And then, you know, first the Saturday people, then the Sunday people, then Christians. I mean, of all things to be talking about, President Abbas talks about this ecological attacks that Israel is taking away trees. This is lunacy. Yet there's no mention of a third intifada. There's no mention of the stabbings that were taking place all through Israel by Palestinians. Listen, it's time for us to wake up as the church. 1 Peter 4 tells us to be alert and sober-minded so that we can pray. We have to know what the end game is so that we can be on the front lines. Listen, we want to take this time to pray with you and for you, and we encourage you, please pray for us. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that no strategy of man is higher than your strategy and your will. Father, we pray that your will for the nations will come to pass, that you would awaken your global church, Lord, that we will rally to pray and to seek your heart and to seek your face, and that we may be about the Father's business, enlarging heaven, diminishing the size of hell, and advancing your kingdom on the face of the earth. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Father, we ask you, dear God, to end abortion and send revival. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.